And if you're looking for one last summer read, Wally Lamb's We Are Water has just been released in paperback. Like his best-selling I Know This Much Is True, We Are Water explores how the past impacts the present. The book opens with the story of Josephus Jones, a self-taught African-American artist from the 1950s, on the cusp of acclaim when he's found dead in a well in Connecticut. Then suddenly, we're at a modern-day same-sex wedding, the marriage of artist Annie and art dealer Vivica. Vivica has picked out three Vera Wang dresses for Annie to choose from, selecting one for herself that even has a name, Gaia, for Earth Goddess. Well, that provokes a rage in Annie that always seems just below the surface, and as we're about to hear, fuels her provocative and disturbing artwork.
Before I can stop myself, mug in hand, I throw my wine at her pale green wedding gown. It lands halfway down the skirt. The red wine against the green silk makes it look like Gaia, the primordial Earth Mother, is having her period. I know I should feel guilty, contrite. I should be rushing to the fridge and grabbing a bottle of club soda before the stain sets, or rushing Vivica's dress down the street to that dry cleaning place. But I'm not contrite. I'm a little giddy, in fact. I pour another mug of wine and throw it at the other three dresses. In some places, the wine seeps in, and it dribbles down to the hems in others. I do it again. Pour, splash. I feel like Jackson Pollock must have felt, except I'm not dribbling paint. I'm staining beauty with blood.
Wally Lamb reading the words of his character Annie. Behind her anger, she was abused as a child, and a devastating flood swept away her mother. Oh, and did we mention that Annie and her ex-husband owned the house and well where that outsider artist Jones died in the 1950s. Wally Lamb weaves all of these stories together in We Are Water, and we spoke to him when the book was first published and asked him where these stories came from.
I grew up in Norwich, Connecticut, and I based the story or started springboarding from two incidents. One was a devastating flood that happened in March of 1963. I was 12 years old, and the floodwaters came about six or seven houses down from where we were. And I still have vivid memories of the roaring water rushing past and also the screams of people buried alive in a mill that collapsed. Four or five people died. Yeah, four from the mill, and then a young mother who had three little boys, age four, age two, and infant. She and her husband were attempting to rescue the kids. He climbed up into a tree. She was handing the kids up to him, and then the flood water took her away, and she died.
Mm.
So that was one. The other is an African-American artist who lived in Norwich, same as I did, back in the 40s and 50s. And he was a laborer. He was unschooled, but his stuff was vivid, and it suggested story. Now the real artist's name was Ellis Ruley. He couldn't sell paintings in his own lifetime, but since about the 70s and 80s, he became, you know, posthumously
they're collectibles.
Very famous.
Yeah. So there are these two truthful threads, and we should explain that Annie, your character, her mother and a sibling died in a terrible flood. That's her backstory.
Right.
Well, and so exercising this yourself, but Annie is also trying to exorcise that flood, and not always in an appealing way. She's not always appealing, this character. She is abusive to her kids sometimes.
Yeah, she targets her male child especially.
Yeah. What were you saying there?
I think I was making a comment about how toxic long-held secrets can be. Annie, she was abused sexually as a little girl, and that sort of plays out in her life. Somebody a couple of days ago said, who had been sexually abused, a woman said to me, you know, it's a very hard thing to get over when the crime scene is your own body. Mm. And boy, did that sort of bring it home for me.
Well, in addition to having the voice in her head of her abuser and the memory of this flood that took her mother and sibling, she's got this cyclone that comes. It's the storm that propels when you've got a good idea, when you there's something you have to write about, something you have to do. It is almost like a windstorm in your head. She's got that. Do you have that?
I get it sometimes, but all too infrequently. every once in a while, I'm so living the story that the room around me, the calendar on the wall, the deer eating the zinnias outside, it all blurs away. And it's the story that is where I'm living. It doesn't happen that often. I don't know whether it's a matter of brain chemistry or what it is, the muse, if you will. But I love when it happens because usually that's when the surprises come, things I hadn't expected.
But as you also point out, there's a thin membrane between the voice in her head that's her abuser, that's constantly, you know, telling her you're never going to get rid of me, mm-hmm. and the artistic cyclone.
Yes, yeah. She's goaded into making this angry art of hers by the voice in her head that haunts her.
Yeah. USA Today wrote, it's the kind of book where you get to the last two chapters and you really want to find out how those loose ends tie up, but you don't want to go too fast because then it'll be over. When it was over for you, Wally Lamb, do you feel in a way that you did justice to that mother that you remember as a child? What a story.
Well, what happened while I was writing this book is that a cousin of those three little boys who were rescued from the tree called me up. Out of the blue, I didn't know her, and she said, would you like to be connected to Tom and Jim and Sean Moody?
Wait, did she know you were writing the book?
And yes, she had heard she had heard that on a radio station interview.
Yeah.
So she through her, I met Tom Moody, who as a four-year-old was the only one who remembered his mother and also the only one who remembered the night of the flood and going underwater in their car. Mm. So he and I and his two brothers met at the dam site. You know, the flood had happened because a dam collapsed. And we walked the flood path and we found the tree. It was one of the most moving things that ever happened in my life. We found that, you know, the Moody brothers called the Tree of Life, and indeed it was for them because that was where they were rescued from. But unfortunately, it's a sad place too because it's the place where their mother's body was found.
But how do they feel about, in a way, her story finally being told through your novel?
Well, they're very happy with it, but also it's not the only avenue of storytelling. Tom Moody, that older brother, he wrote the nonfiction version of The Flood. And so while I was writing my novel and he was writing his nonfiction, we would swap back and forth and give each other feedback. And his book is called A Strange and Deadly Maelstrom.
Well, a twofer, Wally Lamb.
Yeah.
And again, the other story that you make people aware of, say again the name of the real-life African-American artist from Connecticut.
His name is Ellis Ruley. He did die under mysterious circumstances. He was somewhat controversial in town because he was an African-American with a white wife in 1950s America. Mm-hmm. He received money from an insurance settlement. And so he had a big, nice car, and he bought property. And the black community feels that his death was not accidental, as the coroner ruled it, and that he was a target of a racial killing.
Well, and in your novel, you give them a far more satisfying answer to his death than they may be getting in real life. Always a pleasure, Wally. Thanks so much.
And for me, too. Coming here to your studio here in Boston is like coming home for me.
Oh, thanks, and it's great to have you here. Thanks. And Wally Lamb's We Are Water is now out in paperback. We spoke last October. You're listening to Here and Now.